Hello, church. Hello, church. Hello, church. I bring this unfamiliar greeting to you this morning as a reminder, mostly to myself, but also to you, about who we are this morning and every morning. We are church, and we are all that that means this morning and every morning. Sometimes, in our lives together as God's people, church and what that means becomes so comfortable, so familiar, and so nice that it's easy to forget how radical, transformative, and important the life-giving word of Jesus is, and how hard it is to hear, and how even harder it is to live. So the gospel lesson for this morning, and I use that word gospel in air quotes, because it's a hard one to hear. No doubt the gospel that we heard this morning brings a stark and painful reminder with those words that no doubt brings surprise, dismay, disbelief, and maybe even some doubt about whether or not we want to be church at all. Now, I know it is the habit of Lutherans to fall asleep during the reading of the gospel because you've heard it so many times. But listen to what he says in that first opening line. Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciples. After all, having heard that, Jesus in this Gospel of Luke does not seem at all what the brochure in the lobby offered us. You know, meek, loving, accepting, peaceful, long-haired, sandal-wearing version of your favorite Uncle Jesus. The Jesus in this text is filled with the Holy Spirit and brings challenge and an image of faith that rightly sets our teeth on edge. On its face, really, the demands of Jesus in the first part of this gospel seem closer to the worst visions of the worst possible despots of our own age, the worst possible despots imaginable. Setting father against son and daughter against mother, neighbor against neighbor, plotting and planning to assure that the war against the enemy is always won. It seems almost to say, look, if you don't have that kind of commitment, then you are not worth having at all. A kind of single-minded devotion. To be sure, on its face, I am sure that I don't want to be part of anything that looks like that. I see enough of that in the daily newspaper. And to me, that vision looks more like chaos than church, and more like the machinations of self-interested politicians than of the Spirit. So what's going on here in this text? Perhaps what Jesus is up to is something more important than what we see on its face. I started my sermon this morning with a kind of an odd greeting, and it's one I've always liked and never used. Hello, church. I think in this text, Jesus is saying, hello, church, a kind of wake-up call. Jesus seems to be saying to us this morning, if you thought discipleship was going to be like that throwaway class that you took as a senior in high school, basket weaving, I actually didn't take pottery till college. It was not a throwaway class. It was my favorite class. But you know the class. I had a friend who took in seminary in his senior year, dream interpretation. Discipleship isn't like that class that you take just so you have enough hours to graduate. Or so that you can somehow sign on the dotted line and get the get-out-of-jail-free card and pass go and collect $200. If you think that, you may have missed something, Jesus seems to say. Hello, church, Jesus says, filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's an important point because in Luke, that being filled with the Holy Spirit is an important aspect of who Jesus is and will be, and how he will live, and how we will die. And it's jarring. Now, we have to be careful not to misunderstand, as apparently some of our Christian siblings have done, and see these words as permission to hate those who do not measure up, or dismiss people who don't quite act the way that we think they should, or even do violence against them as long as we invoke the name of God. We see that now, as God's name is being used to justify violence to women, to demonize and marginalize our transgender siblings, denounce the LGBTQ plus community. Brother is literally being set against brother and sister against sister for the sake of a false narrative that does not build up the kingdom. It limits it. It keeps the so-called kingdom safe. Keeps it right, even at the cost of the gospel itself. It's important that we understand that Jesus is not advocating violence or discord or narrowness or even doctrinal and moral purity. Hello, church, he says. To be a disciple, to be a true disciple, is to put nothing first before God, before Christ, before love. It's setting aside the seemingly logical pursuit of self-interest for the clearly illogical pursuit of the other. In his seminal work, The Cost of Discipleship, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, my favorite disciple, says this. Discipleship is not limited to what you can comprehend. It must transcend all comprehension. Plunge into the deep waters beyond our own comprehension, and I will help you comprehend even as I do. Bewilderment is the true comprehension. Not to know where you are going is true knowledge. My comprehension transcends yours. You see, discipleship is not money or power or ambition or success. Whether it happens in your own life or in the life of a congregation or of a church, discipleship looks like writing a letter to a friend, asking that whatever is owed by Onesimus might be counted against you, and that this apparently wayward servant might be restored, not to family, but as family. discipleship looks like a potter's wheel, where a whole people will be formed and reformed again and again in God's infinite love, and even when it fails, God will plant a garden there. Discipleship looks like finding in even the most irascible coworker or fellow student or acquaintance, finding in them the glimmer of God's great creation. In this text, Jesus jars us out of our comfort that we might find again the center to which God has been calling us all along. Grace wrapped in a cross. Life winding around death. And hope drawn from an empty tomb. When we lose sight of those things in the blurry details of the cares of the moment, we lose sight of everything. Hello, church, Jesus says, when he reminds us that when we lose sight of whose we are and our place in God's great creation, we lose sight of everything. Jesus reminds us that when we lose sight of who we are and whose we are and our place in God's great creation, we get out of joint, out of sync, and lose sight of all those things that matter the most. Hello, church, Jesus says. The discipleship of Jesus is what it means to be church together. God's disciples gathered in a community of service for the sake of grace and love in a world for the healing of the creation and the created. To see in our neighbor God's glorious joy, no matter who they are or what they look like or who they love. It's a big ask, I know. It's probably more than you signed up for when somebody poured water over your head in baptism. Had you known that this was what discipleship was going to be like, you might have said, hang on, I am all for adult baptism. It's maybe a bit frightening and a little disconcerting, or maybe you think Jesus just had a headache and was a bit grumpy that day. But the discipleship into which we are invited in the cross is the greatest gift we can give the world. It is the gift of life grounded and sustained in grace. It is vocation woven through with love. It is God's words lived with hands and heart, music and song, wounds bound and quiet listening as tears stream down the face of a loved one. It is being accompanied by the poor and giving oneself away only to find abundance in the experience. Discipleship is being set free from all that binds, so that we might bind ourselves to love the world that needs it most. And so I say again, hello, church. Our hymn of the day this morning is ELW number 667, toward the backish part of the red hymnal.